Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to the first episode of Swimming with Narwhals podcast. On today's episode, I sit down with Chris Konski of Mama's Boy Salsa and Market 30. We discuss his journey taking this venture from a small side hustle into a successful small business. Without further ado, here is our conversation. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on and being my first guest. I really appreciate it. How are you doing today?
Doing great, man. I always love talking business and do it with a lot of people outside of podcasts. So absolutely excited to be a part of your show and tell people about our business.
Fantastic. All right, so let's jump right in. Can you give us a quick overview of what Mama's Boy Salsa is?
Yeah, absolutely. Mama's Boy Salsa basically started on an idea and really an appreciation for Hispanic food that my mom and I have. We used to go down to Botanas Mexican restaurant and we would get their chips and salsa to go. And this is about 15, 20 years ago. So quite a while ago. And it was about $13 to get chips and salsa. And my mom said, $13 for chips and salsa? And I said, when it's good and fresh like this, I said, I'm willing to spend, you know, more. And I said, why can you do something like that? And she said, yeah, I think, you know, there's some garlic in there. There's some different stuff like that. And we were able to make our own recipe and kind of have a salsa for our family for 6 years before we even thought of the business. So after that, my cousin suggested we start an LLC and we started doing, you know, going to farmers markets, no label on the jar to start. And then, you know, after seeing some success at the farmers markets, we realized maybe this is something we want to do a little bit more often.
That's fantastic, man. Everybody loves a good salsa.
Absolutely. And you know what's funny is I always remember when I was younger, back in the day, a lot of times people would put like the juice of the salsa on the chip.
Okay.
But not like the actual chunks of it. And I actually am not a huge onion or tomato fan, so I like mine blended really nice and fine. So when you have our fresh salsa, you're getting something that has some pulp and chew to it, but also a lot of that really good flavor juice that everybody kind of enjoys too.
I will say this. When I first had your salsa, I believe it was in 2021, I thought there was something different about it, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And I recently got another jar of salsa of yours, and that is what I noticed the second time. And I was like, man, this goes down really smooth.
Right, and the pico de gallos that are nice and chunky like that, they have good flavor on them, and the first and second day taste nice and fresh and flavorful, but you get to that sixth or seventh day, and then the salsa starts fermenting because they're using fresh tomatoes with that and not a lot of preservatives, so those salsas die off faster. We're lucky enough to have a two-month shelf life on ours, which gives us more opportunity to get to our customers and that makes it easier for us to deliver and to essentially produce funds from, you know.
And that's something I didn't realize. Now my salsa did not last more than I think it was 3 days, but that's good that it has a longer shelf life, because you know a lot of people aren't like me who can just eat a whole jar at one sitting. So,
well, and that's the interesting thing with this one is that now it's fresher and it has a 2 month shelf life unopened. But once it's opened, we say about 2 weeks or so you have on it. Cause you know, back in the day you used to dip into the Tostitos or Chi-Chi's or whatever 100 times for 6 months and that stuff would still be fine to eat, you know, and you're like, okay, I'm not sure what's in this, but I think we have a good mix of healthy and fresh for you, but not preservative heavy either. You know, still gives you some time on the jar to eat it, but you don't have to, you know, feel like you're hurting your body either.
Anything that has less preservatives, the better, to be honest.
Well, but especially as we look at red dyes and stuff like that for, you know, banning those and what Europeans eat, you know, regularly, you start looking at our food and you go, and we could do a lot better than what we're doing.
Yes, we could. And that's kind of what a little bit of a niche you could exploit with your business there. Gives you a little mm-hmm. bit of an advantage.
Well, especially when we have kids, you know, I got a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. So when they ask to eat salsa, you know, it's much better than the bag of chips that they were going to go and get, you know, just eat, you know, eating Doritos or eating candy or, you know, sugary drinks or whatever it is, it's nice to see them eating fresh vegetables in our house, especially tomatoes, onions, and peppers that kids don't normally eat. They tend to, you know, knock that down pretty good in the salsa, but they would never eat them individually. So it's great to see that too.
Absolutely. And a 10 and 7 year old, what heat level are they grabbing?
Mild is where we started. My daughter's kind of the one who's the pusher to the next level. And my son, is, you know, trying to catch up a little bit too, but he's doing pretty good on eating the hotter stuff too. We were on medium for quite a while. Now my daughter is like, can you bring hot jars home, please? Because I actually don't eat the hot. Medium is about my heat level of as far as high as I want to go. I like getting a good hit of heat, but I love the flavor more than anything.
God, I'm going to be honest. The hotter the better, and your hot was perfect. Well done on that.
Working out, we were taking some ingredients to our building today, and one of the gentlemen that rents space from us in our production room, Dennis from Doorstep Peppers, he and I were talking about adding his Jet Blast, which is scorpion peppers, Carolina Reaper, and ghost pepper. Oof. And it's all it is pepper dry pepper seasoning like that. And you just add it to the salsa, and okay. The people who are like super hot lovers are like, oh my God, that's what I'm looking for. They're sweating and going, thank you for making me so happy.
And can you pick that up at your store then? At your storefront?
Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah, at Market 30 over there in Cudahy. Yep.
Very good to know. Very good to know. Awesome. All right. Well, I know a lot about your background, and the name of this salsa fits perfectly for you. How did you come up with this?
I am kind of a mama's boy, right? Well, you know, it's funny, you and I used to play on the soccer field together. So you saw, like, both of us were pretty tough on the soccer field because we played defense and didn't let a lot through.
Correct.
Being called a mama's boy in my day-to-day life now and the brand being mama's boy, you know, the thing is, my mom's always been a huge part of my life. And, you know, I just... She's the one who really talked to me about life in an emotional way. Yep. And, you know, and how to take care of people and how to feel good about yourself and what you want, you know, for life in the future and things. She really guided me. I had trouble in school where, you know, I have some attention deficit issues, but she always really kept me on track and was kind of just an advocate for my life. And I'm just super grateful for that, because as we work together now, it's pretty incredible to sit there and go, hey, look at what we did in sales this year compared to when we started, and how many jars we, you know, made this year compared to the first year. And, you know, it's just the scalability and the excitement of having some success in small business is a great thing to share with family, because I know I spent a lot of years working in corporate jobs where I enjoyed the people I worked with, but I didn't care about them as much as I care about the people that I work with now.
Correct. And when you have your own business, you get to choose who you work with, versus for corporate, you don't really get that choice.
Well, and that's the thing. I have a bunch of family that works with me, but then I hired, you know, a few of my friends and some other people who are customers too. And, Bill Kinsley, who worked in maintenance for the high school and in Greendale for 42 years, was our day one employee at Market 30 when we opened.
That's fantastic. Yes, I know who you're talking about. So wow.
Yeah, it's so fun to get to know people in a different capacity in that way too, and you know, there's times where Bill and I just talk, you know, about life and talk about the business and working together and stuff, and just share an appreciation for each other and things. And, you know, that's the good stuff, man. That's the part of life that I'm going to look back on and go, like, I have great people around me, you know, that are not only helping us to, you know, progress, but also spending their time with me in life, you know, and that means a lot to me.
Seems like it's more than just the business here, Chris, for you.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, when you have your mom and your wife involved, think family business is just kind of different than when you have, you know, a couple partners that get together and aren't necessarily family.
Definitely.
You know, more some challenges in some areas and some, you know, easier in other areas, and vice versa for, you know, people that you aren't family with, you know. But it's I think what's great about it is you get to spend so much time with your family, but interestingly enough, it takes away from some of that those family elements too sometimes. And there's sometimes blocks of months where you spend more time as business partners than you do as son and mother, you know. So I think it's hard sometimes because we have to recognize that. We have to recognize getting frustrated with each other or, you know, different things like that, but also that we all have the same goal and we all want best for each other. And as we, you know, continue to, you know, look back on that stuff, we're very grateful for the time that we get to spend. And mom's not going to be, you know, working with us forever. She turned 70 this past year, and you know, we talk about, you know, what these, you know, last, you know, hopefully 20, you know, hopefully 30, 40, 50 years of her being around, but
yeah,
these last 20 years, kind of, you know, what her plan is for them. And right now it's at a point where she doesn't have to work every day, where, you know, and not even every day, she was working probably 4 or 5 days a week at, you know, in her late 60s, trying to help me out. And now we've gotten to a point where she's choosing to come in. There's sometimes when I need her, you know, pretty bad, but a lot of times it's, you know, kind of volunteer for her, and whether she wants to be there or not. And she still is showing up day after day and has a smile on her face and is always looking to progress our company and make the people that work with us happier, you know, around us too. And you can never thank her enough. There'll never be, you know, enough payment back financially or emotionally to say thank you for how much effort she put in to, you know, help make this work. And especially if, like I said, in 10 years, we're, you know, really where we want to be for, you know, our goals, then, you know, she's even a bigger catalyst for our success.
That is awesome that you guys were able to grow this business together to the point where she doesn't need to help out anymore, but still does. How important is that support system in a small business?
Let's just see if anybody has this at their job. When we're finished with production, my staff and coworkers punch out and we go downstairs and mom makes us lunch. And sometimes it's cheeseburger sliders, and sometimes it's grilled cheese and soup, and sometimes it's, you know, chicken, a million different things that she makes. Sometimes it's chili cheese dogs because she feels like making those. It's just awesome. And then when we all sit down there, we get to bond as coworkers and friends, you know, outside of just standing on the line next to each other when stuff's not always going perfectly, right?
Correct.
So it allows us to bond organically without, you know, us having to control anything. You know, mom's just gracious enough to feed us, and we're all grateful enough to eat it.
Man, it seems like she's got some skills, first with the salsa and then with just cooking lunch. Where do I sign up?
All my life, man. I have been the beneficiary of some of the most amazing food I can think of, and it's mostly come from her. So, and then we get to share, you know, our experiences and our feelings on other people's food together too, especially when we're at events or we go to dinner at, you know, Bridgewater or go to Carnivore or whatever. You know, you go to these great places, and ID actually is another good one that's amazing. But you go to these places and taste all this different food, and you get to talk about why this one's aroma is the best, and this one's consistency is the best, and this one, you know, chew is the best, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That actually helped out a lot. Yesterday, I went to 1840 in Bayview,
okay,
brewery over there.
Yep.
And I got to judge a chili contest. And when I originally sat down with the guy from Johnny's Hot Sauce, I was kind of thinking like, we'll just score like, you know, 1 through 5 and we'll do it that way. But we got to talk about like every element of each one of those chilies. And it was like a fun, it was a really fun back and forth. But I, you know, you develop those skills over time, and my mom's been a gigantic part of that. And that's some of my favorite stuff to do in life.
So there are these opportunities that you are taking part of now that you probably wouldn't have had a chance to before if you were still at your corporate job. Is that correct?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I have weird food opportunities kind of all over, and I would do more if I could handle the pace easier, you know?
Yeah.
I try to stay focused on the business as much as possible, and then when I can do the fun stuff, I try to do that as often as possible too.
Supporting others that support you.
Oh, and there's been so many, from customer businesses to vendors to whatever. We've, you know, Ray's Butcher Shop, huge example of that. You know, we didn't have very many stores. We actually didn't have any stores. West Dallas Cheese and Sausage Shop was the first one to bring us into their shop.
Okay.
And then after we were in there for maybe a month or two, the farmer's market was ending for Greenfield on Lane Avenue there. And Ray's Butcher Shop was right down the street. So I talked to Perry Pod, the owner over there, and we went to school with his son, Scott.
Scott, yep.
And I actually didn't know Scott all that well. We knew each other, but we just didn't hang out necessarily. And Perry was gracious enough to bring our salsa into Ray's Butcher Shop. And that was like a big deal because there's people around us that could get access to that salsa 7 days a week, whereas we were only at the farmer's market.
Okay.
That was a huge start for us. Both West Dallas Cheese and Sausage Shop and Ray's Butcher Shop were gigantic in the beginning for us like that.
Okay.
And still are to this day. We still bring lots of product to both of those stores.
That's fantastic. Now, I'll back up a little bit because you're talking about getting into Ray's Butcher Shop. Now, you started this off as a side hustle. You were working at U.S. Cellular. Can you kind of go describe how you went from that side hustle to making the decision to make this your main gig?
Well, I think it starts with just making the salsa for ourselves, right? We had access to it. I would just grab a jar whenever I wanted to at my mom's house when I wanted another fresh pint of salsa. It was pretty fantastic. And then there were 6 years of that. And like then we, when my cousin Mary suggested that we start an LLC, we were like, well, yeah, let's see that and check it out and see what happens. And in the first year with no label on the jar, we sold $5,000 worth of product, and it was like one of those like, oh,
light bulb
okay,
moments.
We didn't put a ton of time, it was a nice light bulb moment, but it was like we didn't spend a bunch of time, but we did make some solid money, and it was just kind of fun money, you know, to start. And I think that's the interesting thing about farmers markets is that there's just different levels. Some people are there for fun money. Some people are there to, you know, supplement another job that they have. And some people do that absolutely full time. So, you know, it's just there's different efforts that you put in, you know, when you're on those different levels.
Yep.
So it's been cool to kind of learn the farmers market scene and kind of get into that. We've been doing that for 9 years now. We've been doing farmers markets, so we've seen quite a few things. We've been to different events, different seasons at different places, and you just learn a lot. To see what works and how to talk to customers, the verbiage that you use turns conversations into sales, right?
Correct.
That's what we're all here for. That's why we're standing at those tents. We want to make money, you know, and we want to get our products out to the people and make them happy, right? We want satisfied people and make some money while we're doing it.
And then satisfied customers will tell their friends, hey, I got this salsa at Greenfield Farmers Market. That's really good. You should go check them out.
Yes, and we've had so many people doing that for us that throughout the years, it's been insane. People have spent a lot of their own money on trying to help our business do better. And I've seen it so many times, and I'm so grateful. I wish I could say thank you to all the people who go out of their way to help us. But I just try to say thank you by, you know, keep producing good quality products and then bringing new products to market and doing different things that way, so that we're trying to keep it you know, fresh not only for the salsa, but fresh for the ideas that we're bringing to the public too. And if we can keep growing and, you know, adding coworkers to our team and stuff, I mean, I think that's what the goal is for a lot of small businesses. And, you know, it's funny when people talk about success for us, because success is not finite, like they say. And sometimes people are super jacked about making $50 at the farmers markets. And sometimes, you know, 1,000 isn't enough. So, you know, it's just finding your level and what your expectations are for yourself and what you want to see in your life and what your goals are.
Correct.
And,
yeah.
Trying to execute as best as possible. It doesn't always work, but it's, you know, trying to be as best as possible is always the goal.
And when were you guys in stores? Were you in Ray's Butcher Shop when you decided to leave US Cellular to pursue this?
I get a little choppy on that timeline, but it was right around that time. I think I actually quit full time and then got into Ray's Butcher Shop, because I think it was like, now it's on. Now I'm Tommy Boy and I need to sell 500,000 brake pads.
Yeah, buddy. What were people's reaction when you said, "Hey guys, I'm leaving to start my salsa business"?
What the F are you talking about? And I mean, truly, I literally heard that from people.
I believe it.
Concern from people too, right? I mean, you're going out on your own and you're going to do something that nobody else that you know has done. And that task is what keeps, you know, 98% of people out of owning their own business, you know.
Probably more than that. Probably more than that, my friend. Yeah.
Right. I was trying to go be somewhat conservative, but yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's challenging. And I don't know. It takes a lot of will.
Absolutely. I have a little, you know, some personal experiences there. But yeah, it can be challenging and scary. I completely understand that. When you first started, did you ever feel like this was the wrong decision?
We had two young kids when we first started, I just remember not knowing where I was going to go for the day, and my mother-in-law coming over to watch my kid, you know, to watch our daughter. Yep. And I'm sitting there going like, oh my God, I don't even know if I have some place to go. So I'm going to try and write a list and do that stuff. And that's not the thing that I do well in.
Yes.
So it was challenging to figure out how I was going to make it work. But some of that silence and that time that you have to just think about that is what, you know, pushes you forward to get it done too. It doesn't always have to be a depressive waste of time. It can be a reflective, realistic re-opportunity, right?
Yes, know? Yes.
So I don't think re-opportunity is a word, but you know what I mean.
I know. I know what you're saying. So then at the beginning, you're getting things going. How many flavors did you have at the time, or heat levels?
Sometimes you kind of try to think of like why you started out this way, but we did mild, hot, and extra hot.
Okay.
And I think the reason for that was that we did mild and hot to really like start out, and then people were like, "You need hotter than that, though. It's not hot enough." So then we're like, "Okay, well, this is the extra hot then," because we already had the labels done for the hot, so we're like, "We're not changing that, right?"
Yep.
So then we go maybe 2-3 years, even maybe 4 at the most, and we had that same lineup that same way. But then when we were looking into getting into grocery, we knew that we had to not look as green behind the ears as we were.
Okay.
You know? So we had to change it to the mild, medium, and hot so that people could just recognize that type of flavor scale compared to what they see on the shelves, you know, regularly.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then, were you trying to get into bigger places at that time, and that's what prompted the decision?
Well, I think the success of going to Ray's Butcher Shop and West Dallas Cheese and Sausage Shop and presenting it kind of old school, like I was in my early 30s, and was going from shop to shop and presenting salsa. Like the guys who are the women and men that are managers and owners of those places, that's kind of how they used to do it, right?
Yep.
That they've seen or that they did even. So when I went in and I presented the salsa like that and actually gave a real pitch to them, I think they respected it that way. And I realized I had an opportunity to kind of talk to some more meat and cheese shop, people that, could kind of relate to my situation. And if we could, make money for both of us, then it would make sense to be there, right?
Yes.
So I always kind of tried to work hard on taking care of them for giving us the opportunity.
How many times did you hear no?
Oddly enough, the salsa, my mom, like we talked about, is so good at flavoring and just making food. We had so many people that enjoyed the salsa that there really wasn't a whole lot. I think you want all of them, so like they sting when you don't
Of course.
you don't
Yes,
get
of
them.
course.
But I would say probably 3 to 5 places maybe that we didn't get into that I tried to,
And how
and
did.
probably 2 or 3 of them. I don't necessarily know if it would be a good fit now anyway.
Okay. And how did you get over those no's? Did it give you motivation to go out and get another yes?
I was just gonna say finding a yes made all that just go away. That pain doesn't hurt nearly as much when the excitement of the yeses come, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, I mean, especially when you get into West Dallas Cheese and Sausage Shop's a fun one too, because they had the public market too that they sell out of. So there's
Yes.
really 2 locations that we got to do. And then when you have a salsa that's got a 2 month shelf life, it's nice to be able to spread it out between 2 stores rather than just one and hope that you can sell all 36 jars of, three cases of salsa like that. So
Absolutely.
we like the multi-units, and they just sell well for us anyway. They're good partners. It's, we talk family stuff now rather than business stuff, because that's almost all taken care of. It's just if there's an issue that pops up, we've already had the experience of taking care of them here or there.
Yeah.
So we already have a foundation to figure out a solution, right?
And I do think the stores that you did choose, I mean, it makes sense that salsa would go along with meat and cheese, and you can, it's a one-stop shop for all that stuff when you're having a get together. So I think it's a perfect blend.
And I think for people who grill and things, I think they also, a lot of times the grilling takes a long time. So if you can have a quick appetizer where you're just sitting there and just mounting on some chips and salsa,
Yeah.
I think it's a good way to you get some good flavor in there and stuff, but still be ready to eat
You're
afterwards.
describing my summers right there.
We have a lot of construction guys and things in those industries that they will buy like a half gallon of our salsa, and they will just go home, sit on the couch after work, and they will just plow down, a few ounces of salsa, and then that's like their appetizer for their dinner. So
Yes.
it's pretty interesting. It's fun to see those guys walk through the door and here's my half gallon. I need another one, please. I'm like, absolutely, we'll get that salsa
It's also nice
to
that
you.
you offer that size, because normally, you get the small, I think, a pint jar, but to offer that bulk size is awesome. Because let me tell you, when I come back, I'm going to be getting that.
Well, they're great. They're great for parties and things like that too. Cinco de Mayo is always kind of like our jump off for the summer.
Okay, yeah.
So it's always kind of nice to bulk up a little bit now, because in a month we're going to be dropping off a bunch of half gallons of salsa and pints of salsa and things too. So
Yep.
it's great that way. But the other great part about it is that not only do we work with some of the meat and cheese shops and grocery stores, like Ray's Butcher Shop and West Dallas Cheese and Sausage Shop, but we also work with catering opportunities as well, or restaurant opportunities.
Okay.
So Cranky Al's, that's in Wauwatosa, it's a donut shop that's been around for about 20 years now, and they're like, well, salsa and donuts, how would that even correlate or work?
I
Like, you
was
just sell your
just
pints
going
or
through that
what, right?
thought process, yes.
Right. Yep. So the reason is because they also make breakfast burritos and some of the best breakfast burritos in the city. So what they do is they put a 2 ounce portion of our hot salsa on the side, and then they call us and order a couple more half gallons the next week. So and like I'm and they'll go through 3 gallons in 1 week and sometimes 6 gallons in a week. So it's fantastic for us. And
Absolutely.
one thing, Dave, that's that worked out really well business-wise for that is that I bought half-gallon glass from a company called Porky Co. on Layton,
Okay.
and their brand name is actually Porking Good, and they everybody laughs at that until
Yes.
I tell them that they sold $5 million worth of pork rinds last year.
That's
So
phenomenal.
yeah, so they do pretty well. And what they used to do is they used to do pork hocks, like a pig ankle,
Yes, ham hock, yep.
in those yeah like in those 1/2 gallon jugs in the glass. But they were switched to plastic, and whoever ordered their caps ordered like way more than they had of the glass. So they
Okay.
had like a pallet and a half of glass, and they offered to sell it to me for 60% of cost. Because they weren't using them anymore. And then they had all these caps, and they're like, I'll just give you a pallet for $100. And I'm like, oh my God,
Done.
that's amazing. Right. Yeah. So I'm giving them some extra funds that they were just going to throw this stuff away. And I got it for for 60% cost. Now, then I send it to Cranky Al's, and they take the 1/2 gallons over by them. They sanitize them and wash them with their dishwasher, send them back to me. I sanitize them again, and then I refill them and send them back to them.
Saving money
So,
and getting new business avenues.
label cost, glass cost, yeah, it's just smooth for all of us. And then I'm able to keep my costs down because, with a big, salsa that's a large company. They can make salsa for so cheap that it's hard for me to compete with them
Oh, yeah.
financially, right? But the quality of mine is quite a bit better. And then I'm able to keep my costs down because they're returning that glass to me and saving me money on that. So we're able to help each other out financially by partnering and working together and finding a solution that works for both of us.
And how did you come across this opportunity?
Actually, we've been lucky enough to work with Fox 6 quite a bit.
Okay.
I think I've done about 7 spots with them now, a couple in studio, a couple at our building, and a couple at other people's places. Pop's Marketplace was gracious enough to have me, come and join them and do a spot under their, new building that they were opening and stuff too. So
Okay.
just done some fun stuff that way. And I think as you do these TV spots, people kind of just get that repetition of seeing your brand flashing in front of them.
Yep.
And Joey reached out to us, gals, and we just talked about like what would work and things, and let's just see how it goes. And it's been going great. And now he and I, like I said, talk families and go in and just talk business and say like, what are you doing for insurance? What do you see for, this coming down the line here? And it's just really great because we get to bounce ideas off of each other. And I have probably a group of 10 people that I call pretty regularly just to check in about like their business and what they see on the market
Okay.
so that I have a good idea of what's coming down the pipeline. Plus it just like sharpens your own sword a little bit too, and your own knives and stuff, just trying to get better and have a better understanding of what's happening, around you.
Yeah, I mean,
So
I can only imagine how good it is to have those relationships, 'cause there's a lot of questions that you don't even know what's to come, and it comes and you're like, oh, what do I do? Well, if you have a bunch of people you can reach out to, maybe they've experienced it before.
right. And if they didn't, at least they'll cry with you.
Absolutely. Now, as you're building this business and it sounds like it's getting bigger, you're getting these relationships. Do you ever feel like you had imposter syndrome?
Yeah. So I think you float in between that and probably a little bit of cockiness or, you know, sure of yourself, you know, tendencies, because you have to almost. It's kind of a crazy industry. And when you're alone a lot and you have to deal with issues, you have to figure out ways to get past those. And, you know, like I said, when you got those people to call on and, you know, just, you know, complain a little bit or find a solution for something or hear what they're going through, it just makes everything a little bit easier because you're just not doing it by yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Because it is a very, you know, lonely place at times, because you basically, I almost think of it as almost going to the military of sorts, just as far as like what your like family situation is. It's almost like you have to like shut your brain off from your family for a little while to train yourself up to be prepared. And that's kind of how, you know, we needed to do it for, you know, our business. Not to take away from the military or say anything, you know, that we're close to doing what they do. We're grateful for what they, you know, how they protect us and what they do for us. But just that feeling of going off and being separated in order to build, right? And to be better.
Understood. Yeah, completely. Now, you started this business in about 2015, 2016, somewhere around there. Here comes 2020. No one really likes to go back there, but let's just talk about it for a little bit. Sure. COVID hits March of 2020. How did this affect your business?
At first, you know, we were hearing 3% death rates, and I am driving out on the freeway to go and deliver salsa to, let me back up for a second. When we originally found out that the NBA shut down and that people were not going to be able to get to have more than 50 people in a spot, we had just made 50 cases of salsa on that Tuesday. So the Wednesday was when the NBA shut down. And then we ended up going like, how are we going to sell the salsa when we can't really go outside?
Right.
And be with a big group of people, right? And our best opportunity is when there's a bunch of people in one area that we can sell to.
Yep.
Now we have, you know, minimal 50 or a maximum 50, and you're sitting there going, wow, I've got a lot less opportunity. So thankfully we pivoted to asking if people would like to donate to the first responders, because obviously we wanted to support them for taking care of us.
Absolutely.
And we put $5 for a jar of salsa, $5 for a bag of chips, and whatever you wanted to donate, I would go and drive it to those places. Well, the thing is, when I was driving on the freeway and there was two cars on a 15-minute, you know, ride to downtown, you know, Milwaukee, you're sitting there going like, oh my gosh, am I doing the right thing right now? You know, with this little, you know, like nylon mask I have on my face.
Yeah.
And then I pick up the salsa and I go to the public market, where the soup market that has a few locations in Milwaukee area. They were really kind and let us store our salsa down in the basement and use their refrigerators. And I walked into the public market one week and there was 600, 700 people in there. And then the next week after the NBA shut down, there was 13 people in there. And it was just scary and quiet and, you know, kind of uneasy, you know, and you didn't know what was coming up. And then I look at a woman that I had seen multiple times in the market, Beth, who owns St. Paul Fish Co. And she ended up where she wasn't going to get any insurance money back for the food that was going to go to waste in her coolers. So she took it out of her coolers, put it on the countertops for all the employees in the public market to take whatever groceries they wanted to their families. And it was like, wow, this is just very different. So I went downstairs, grabbed cases of salsa and brought them up and shared my portion with them then too. And we all got to take care of each other a little bit. But yeah, just definitely scary times, you know, trying to figure out what to do, you know, with that. And then when I would go to do the deliveries to the hospitals,
yep.
1 week I was doing the farmer's market out there, and the next week they had those big metal poles that are like a hallway almost that like a portable hallway almost.
Yeah, yep.
And then they put the plastic wrap over the top. And I walk up, and these people have like almost hazmat suits on while I'm coming here to deliver the salsa with a little nylon mask on my face. And I'm going, oh my gosh, is this right?
Is this
But
right?
thankfully I was able to get, to sell the salsa to, take care of people. People donated and were so kind to us. And then we were also able to sell our salsa, so we didn't lose money on it too. And it was so functionally it worked out for us, but it was also a very scary time too, because you just didn't know, what you were getting into that everybody else was staying away from,
Correct. Yeah, I know. But you guys made it and continued to build. So I want to talk a
Hey,
little bit about
dear,
your.
can I
Oh, sorry, go
Can I
ahead.
interrupt you for just a second?
Yeah.
I think it's just a microcosm of what business is too, though. You get surprised by things, and unexpected things come up, and you just have to figure out ways to deal and get past it. And and I think that's it was a challenge, but it was also a challenge that like you said, we were able to get through, and we were able to work together in order to get through it too.
And then from that, you can build on your confidence knowing that, hey, if another unexpected event comes up, you'll be able to figure things out because you've already done this and you've already done the hard work to get through something else. And you can build on that experience.
Oh, just a little bit tougher skin, right? More experience, skin, ideas of what to do the next time it happens. That's why when you see a person who's ran a business for 50 years, and then you've seen a person who just started their business, you watch like something bad happen to the person who's been around for 50 years, and they barely flinch. And you look at somebody who's been around for 6 months, and then they're like, "Oh my God, I might have to close everything."
Yeah.
So, and it's that experience and that understanding of going through those tough times that makes you, a little bit hardened to, not freaking out, which is oddly a good
Yes, it is. And
thing.
it takes a lot of those though to not feel the pain of some of those short-term issues, correct?
Well, and some of those short-term issues become long-term issues too, right? With business, it's not always black and white. Sometimes, you're just in a position where you can't really move, and you just got to deal with what you have for right now.
And then that's where your support comes in. So
Definitely.
I know you talked about your mom, so I'm going to ask a little bit about some of the other support you have. Your wife also helps you out.
Yeah, so she works full time for Kessler's Diamonds, and she we worked for Culver's for quite a while actually together, and she had worked for Culver's for actually like 15 years or 13 years before she got into Kessler's and things.
Okay.
So she's always worked for the last, I think, 8 years she's worked for Kessler's, and she's always worked there full time, and then helped with our business as well. So on Tuesdays when we were doing production, that was her off day from Kessler's, and she'd come in for production that day. Then on Sunday, which was her other off day, that was farmer's market that she would help me out at Greenfield. So she is just an incredibly hard worker. She's somebody that I admire, somebody who I am grateful to be a partner with, not only in our life but in our business. It's amazing to like to have your wife be a part of the business and it be an enjoyable experience. 'Cause I've talked to other people who are like, I just can't work with family that way. And I can kind of understand, but I also would be here to say my wife and I have had some hard times here and there with the business. My mom and my relationship has had probably a harder time because we just have different mindsets for the business.
Okay.
She's looking to retire and I'm looking to build.
Yes.
So I'm closer to my wife in wanting to do those things together than I am with my mom. And so it's finding the balance of what works for everybody that, makes sense. But man, it's strong women that work their butts off and are, impressive is kind of who I surround myself with. And I'm just grateful that there's so many of them. Do you mind if I just brag a little bit about my employees a little bit?
Absolutely.
Real
Let's
quick.
hear it.
Well, Bill, who I spoke of earlier, is just he does all of our labels. He does our our salsa production with us and our dip production as well. And then he also composts and takes it to the high school and rotates their compost and stuff for them and things. So not only is he great for our business, but he's also environmentally friendly and a fantastic person to be around. So super grateful to have him. Our dip manager, Miss Laura, she worked for USPS for her career, and then had retired and was like, "Hey, if you guys ever need help chopping, you know, or whatever," and we're like, "Well, we don't really know her, and I like to hire kind of more people I'm familiar with, because there's some people who have asked me for work that I just didn't have spots for yet. So been lucky enough to have good opportunity that way." But we said, you know, if she's worked in kitchens and stuff at the high school in Franklin and stuff, I said, let's see if she could come over and help us out. And help us out is probably an understatement for what she does for us now. She's one of those where my mom and I are pretty unstructured. She is very structured and has all of the seasonings, you know, set out and all of the bowls, you know, ready for, you know, mixing and different stuff like that. Whereas, we're not as set up like that. So as you add employees who make a difference that way, you sit there and go like, how awesome is it to have that? But I could also get better myself too, you know?
Correct. Yes.
And then my general manager, I hired actually, within like the last like six to 8 months here. Miss Lauren, and I used to work at the Milwaukee Ale House together as servers.
Okay.
And, then she was a teacher for 18 years. And, I think, you know, with the current, landscape of the school system, I think it's very challenging to be a teacher these days. And, not, you know, she was a great teacher, but I think she was just looking for something better for her own life, you know, served so long and, worked so hard that I think she was looking for something else. And, she asked me if I had something for her, and I had some part-time, to start here. And it's gone so well that, I think we're going to be starting full-time, June 1st is what our discussions were. So, but it's so great because she's an advocate for the business too. She's like, well, does that make sense for the business, or do you just, you're trying to help me? 'Cause I want it to make sense for you too. And it's so selfless, the things that she does. And then we end up just talking crap and laughing together like crazy. So it's fun to have that. And she gets along really well with my wife, and I get along really well with her husband and stuff. So it's just such a cool, you know, environment that way and stuff. And then, lastly but not least, Miss Kate is a friend of mine that we've met in Greendale area here. And actually, because I with fresh salsa, unfortunately, bad things happen sometimes too, where we have mold in our salsa or it ferments earlier than it's supposed to.
Okay.
And she had a bad jar of salsa, unfortunately. So the way that we always did that with our customers is that if you have something that went wrong with our salsa, we were always willing to replace it. So I go drive out and deliver it to their house. That's fine. Oh. However we need to do to take care of it is what I expect, especially when somebody has a poor experience. I worked in restaurants long enough to know that just giving somebody what they, you know, just replacing what they missed isn't really necessarily good enough or satisfying to the customer. And, you know, anyway, so I brought that jar of salsa over, and as I was walking, I was walking on her front sidewalk in front of her house, and it happened to just be really slippery that day. I ended up slipping and slamming the jar into the ground and cutting my hand all up and just laying there with salsa all over my butt and at this person's house that I don't know. So she opened the door and was like, "Oh my God." And wiped salsa off of me and helped me out. And I happened to have an extra jar of salsa in the car, which worked out great. And I gave her that. And her husband was really sweet, and she was as well. But they had said, like, you know, go get yourself checked out and stuff. And I was like, I'm not that type of person. So I said, I'll go to the doctor when I need to, when something's falling off of me, but I'm all right for now. And she said, well, her husband gave me a call back and said, hey, if you need to go, please do. But if not, we would just appreciate it if you came and broke bread with us. So we ended up, our family went over to their house, had a nice dinner with them, and we've been friends ever since. And now she works with us on Tuesdays. So it's, yeah.
That is an awesome story.
And actually, I'm sorry, I've got one more to speak about.
Yeah.
You know, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my dad, they all help a ton too, but they don't work with us day to day. But my Aunt Jan does work with us every Tuesday. She's retired from Northwestern Mutual and things, and has set herself up with a good life. And she not only, you know, is taken care of, but she also takes care of a lot of other people. So every Tuesday, Jan comes in and volunteers to work for free for us, and just puts in, you know, hours after hours, and is just, I think, happy to be around us and to spend the time with the fun people that we have there.
Yeah.
But I think she's just got such a giving heart that she, you know, she's just, you know, servitude is something that she believes in. And I'm just so grateful to have her as, you know, a part of our company, but just also to spend time as, you know, my aunt. She's, you know, she's my godmother actually.
Okay.
It's, we hadn't had that time to like spend, you know, on, you know, a friend level, you know, an appreciation for who each other is.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, you know, to throw that in the mix on top of all the other great employees that we get to work with. I mean, it's a beautiful life so far.
And that's what I like to highlight. That's the whole reason for this, Chris. You sharing your business, your successes, and all the people around you that make this successful. Because we both know you cannot do it yourself. Absolutely nope. Cannot. And you've just highlighted, you got a great team. Granted, you get to choose them, but it seems like you built it the right way.
Well, it feels like that. You know, it's funny because in the beginning, like I said, everybody was questioning what I was planning on doing, right?
Yes.
And I don't blame them. Like you, people who ask me about doing what I do now, my first thing have you thought of all of the tough parts? <You know? laughs> And I really want to, you know, say like, yeah, go for it and do it. But it's so challenging that, you know, that it's not always advisable, but, there's the success that we've had and that we've gotten to share and to see. I mean, this is still only the start. You know, we're, you know, eight, 9 years in now, but it's really, this is kind of where we've just started really going. You know, having a partnership with Sendix has really taught us, you know, that big grocery is very enjoyable as far as keeping your business, you know, going and progressing, because Sendix is sold. They did, 11,000 jars with us last year. And I'll just say it on here. We'll be releasing a new product to Sendix here in the next month.
Ooh. So, all right.
I won't say which one, but we're going to be releasing one of our dips to Sendix, and that'll be at, we have 15 locations now. So we'll be releasing them to all 15, and mom will be out there sampling like crazy and just trying to get, you know, more opportunity out there for, you know, for us to progress. Because if you think about it, you know, we could just bring salsa to each one of these places, but if we have another product, now I'm bringing salsa and dips, and you're making more margin on, you know, bringing another item in, but you're not paying any more in gas, no more in insurance,
yep,
and no more in the driver that's taking it out there, right? So it's, you know, being able to add on to that, but not having to find a lot more overhead is always a beautiful thing.
And when did you start, I guess, when did you get into some other products besides your salsa?
Actually that started pretty early. What happened was we were selling our salsa with like Tostitos chips on the side.
Okay.
And we would go through two or three bags of chips because we wanted to sample as much as possible to, you know, get our stuff out there.
Yep,
right?
Of course.
Well, then you're sitting there looking and you're going, well, what was my cost on what I just spent on those chips? And then the jars of salsa too, I'm sampling. And then you're going like, okay, well, man, that's the margins are getting smaller and smaller and
Yeah.
smaller, right? So then I said, well, I got to find a chip person. Because if I could sell chips while I'm sampling them, then I could make money rather than lose it on it, right?
There you go.
So called I went to Wilson Farm Meats, and they had suggested Rafael Hernandez, who makes the Hernandez chips. And I went and talked to Raf, and he and I worked together for years until he sold. And now another gentleman had bought his business, and we work with him now, and we sell the Hernandez chips for them. So I get about 50 cases or so a week,
Okay.
and sometimes 100 during the summer. And then we distribute them all around to different, the meat and cheese shops and different things
Yeah.
that way. But then when we were at the farmers market, I thought, well, then why don't, if West Dallas Cheese and Sausage Shop, sells our stuff, do they want us to sell their Bloody Mary mix for them? So when we'd go out to the farmers markets, now I'm bringing three products out instead of just the one salsa I was hoping to make enough off of. So that actually grew a bigger line for us. We ended up doing spicy honey and hot sauces and different stuff like that, and then beef sticks and beef jerky and summer sausage, and we had quite a few different items. And I like it was for the farmers markets, it was stacking up in my dining room for like the hot sauces. So you got like 10 cases of hot sauce in your
Yes.
live in your dining room, and you're like, oh my God, and you got 20 cases of chips, and you're like, oh my gosh. So it was kind of crazy, but that actually is the reason for our retail shop, Market 30. Market 30 is because Wisconsin's the 30th state to become a state. We're going to market Wisconsin products is the idea.
Which is
And there,
awesome.
well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. My wife said that, and I was like, Market 30. That sounds kind of lame, to be honest. She explained that. I was like, you're so much more intelligent than me. I'm not sure why I even talk. But it was a cool idea that way. And then the reason that we wanted to do that is we wanted to have basically an indoor farmers market. And for friends of ours that we respect and appreciate and love their products, it was just another avenue to, another revenue stream to get good product out, but also make some good money, in the shop while we're making our salsa and selling it outside of our shop too. So,
Yes.
that was great.
I was lucky enough to take a trip over there, and let me tell you, I think it's a very unique spot, and even the name tells more of the story. For those of you who've never been there before, I'll just talk about it from my perspective, and then Chris, I'll let you talk on it from your perspective.
Yeah,
But
I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
sure, I mean, I had no idea what I was walking into, so I just drove over there when I was visiting my parents. I walk in, and the first thing you see when you walk in is that nice selfie wall with your logo. And of course, I didn't take a selfie because I wasn't really thinking, but I took a picture of it, and now it makes a lot of sense. Two, I like that you have a window that you can look back to see you guys working and making your salsa. That is something that I would have expected to be walled off and you wouldn't see. That adds a little bit of a personal touch for the people coming in and seeing that product being made. And then third, just having all local products, in my opinion, is great because that just you're going to support local. I will support local more than I will support big chain. And just having all those local products, man, I mean, hot honey, summer sausage, salsa, dip, snacks for my daughter, some nuts for my wife. And like, I mean, it just had a little bit of everything. There's hot sauces, there's Lutz's Bloody Mary mix. I mean, there's just so much to offer. And I believe Laura
It's
was
kind
in.
of a small little it kind of a small little place too,
It is, yeah, but it offers
right?
a ton. And I was just so impressed with it. And I was talking to, I believe her name was Laura, who was at the register that day. And we talked for like 45 minutes to an hour about everything. And I mean, it's a fantastic little place. And I know there's more to come for the space, but I really enjoyed it, and I want to hear kind of what your thought process was as you were building it.
Well, I think the selfie wall was something that, you know, you can hear about a place a lot of times, but man, isn't it true that the stuff you see on Instagram is the stuff that makes you really want to go to places?
Yeah, yes,
You know, you see those pictures of those things and you're just like, oh, that's interesting. Or I've seen that a couple of times from other people that have posted it, right? So then you just get some of the, that starts getting in your peripheral more often. And I just think it's just kind of a fun spot. I also, it was kind of a space to celebrate with people when we first opened too, because they had their products in our shop. We're partnering with them. We're, you know, we were taking pictures just to celebrate our, that the awesome vendors that we had too. And then it's funny because people are like, oh, do you mind if we take it? No, I'm always down every single time. I'm grateful anyone even cares, to be honest with you. And with the observation window, I thought that was always a cool aspect of seeing other people's food production. I think, you know, sometimes it's behind a wall because it's not the cleanliness, you know, the cleanest.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's behind the wall because the people don't get along and it's too loud for the outside. And sometimes it's just behind the wall because it's behind the wall, you know? So, but I love the fact that you'd be able to see what's going on. And I don't know if you picked up on this when you were there, Dave, but we have four different people who work out of our side of the space. It used to be my uncle's dentistry was the whole, was the building.
Yep.
And, then the chiropractic office was on the left. He unfortunately passed in a car accident, and a year after he passed, my aunt, was kind enough to sell it to us. And we converted it to the salsa production in the back and the retail shop in the front. But we have a chiropractor that still rents from the left side of our building.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the right side of our building, that's Dr. Alexander Burbach. He's just a little bit over 30 years old, but he worked in chiropractic with his family for all of his life. So as you talk to him, you realize he's got like the mindset of like a 50-year-old that has, you know, the athletic ability to crack your back the way he needs to. So it's really, really nice. And he's great. He does a lot of work on me and people I know. So he's great and is fantastic to have in the building. But then we also have Blue Sheep Charcuterie, who rents space and makes their charcuterie boards.
Okay.
So you can order for holidays or order for parties, and then they'll make the boards, and then you can just pick them up from our place, you know, on the day that you need to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. And it's funny, as you work with these different people, you get to kind of see what they get into and what successes they have.
Yeah.
And they told me, they're like, oh, we're going to Peter Gabriel's PJ. And I was like, I don't speak that language, but what are you talking about? I'm too old. I don't understand cool terminology now. And she goes, oh, they're private jet. And I was like, oh, you're delivering to Peter Gabriel's private jet. I'm like, that's fantastic. And then I think Stevie Nicks was like the month after that. So,
wow. Nice.
So it's really cool to see those successes from, you know, from people who are on different levels than you too, because I'm rooting for everyone to be as successful as they possibly can be. So it's great to see stuff like that. They rent our space at night and on the weekends. If they need to make boards, they just shoot me a little text and say, we're going in. And then they do their thing and have codes to go in. They have storage for themselves. And it's all really communicated and really good that way. Then we have To Your Health Juicery. They make their juice on Wednesdays and Fridays. So when you come in on Fridays, you can actually watch them through the observation window and see how they do their processes for making raw organic juice.
Okay.
It is absolutely fantastic stuff, really well flavored, but also like my gut health as I get older is more difficult to deal with.
Okay.
And when I have their drinks, I feel better every single time. So, they're really good that way. Super sweet people, mom and daughter that run that. And then, we have Doorstep Peppers, Dennis, who rents space on Mondays. He's the one who I was talking about that jet blast.
Yep.
that we put in, and he was just there today while I was bringing the ingredients in for tomorrow's production run. And then we have Ai Chihuahua Coffee, who rents some space and uses our facility too. So it's so cool to be able to have that buzz around the building of people just working, especially in the summertime. That building is busier than my house, you know, so it's fun to see when it was just a dental office that we had to convert. So there was nobody on that side. And then we had the chiropractor and on the other side. So we had literally three or four people in the building at the most, you know, when we first started. And now we have, like, it could be as many as 20 people in there at times.
It's come a long way. And and you guys personally remodeled it, correct?
That's correct. Now, you have to have a professional plumber, and you have to have a, what was the other one that I needed?
Electrician.
Electrician. Thank you. Yep, that's exactly what it was. So I had to have those two that were professionally done, and then we unprofessionally did the rest.
You wouldn't be able to tell from my perspective, so you guys did a fantastic job.
Well, you know, Mark Konski's on the job, so, you know, it's always going to be taken care of the right way.
Awesome. All right. Well, we've talked a lot about all these successes. Can I ask you about some potential failures or hardships along the way and kind of how you overcame them?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been many. You know, it's always funny because I talk to people about, like, the show of the restaurant, right? Because it's like, well, I'm not going to show you all the stuff that's not going right in the back.
Like, yes.
We're just going to give you the best parts of us. And to that point, that's, even though customers might not think that they want that, when they're buying stuff and making decisions of where they want to be, I think that decision comes up, you know, a lot more often that way.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, I try to minimize my failures to be $1,000 mistakes or less. And I know that still sounds like a lot, and it is. But the thing is, trying to avoid those $5,000 to $10,000 mistakes,
oh, yeah,
or $20,000 to $50,000 mistakes, that's where you start getting top heavy and getting unsure of what's, you know, the future looks like. And it gets tough that way. But, you know, making those smaller strides, you know, I'm selling $7 salsa. So I got to sell a lot of salsa to, you know, equal what my full-time job was when I started this, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I'm not there yet, you know. And that's why it's funny when people say, like, oh my gosh, Chris, you're having so much success. Success is so many different things.
Absolutely.
You know, the success that I feel more than anything is that I get to spend time with my family and I enjoy life, you know, more than I ever did. You know, that's success to me. You know, financial success, I wouldn't say we're there yet. I would say we're getting better and we're on a good track, but, you know, we're not, you know, I'm not spending on whatever I want and buying houses in the best neighborhoods. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a lot of conservative stuff until we get to that spot. So, I don't know. I think, you know, I would say the, hardest part and, the biggest failure that I've felt is probably, you know, how I've talked to my mom at times.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. Okay.
Interesting and probably not easy to talk about, but also necessary and true. You know, we're very similar people where we're, you know, we got a little bit of ADD. We like having fun. We like to make people feel good. And we like to kind of do things our way a little bit too.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it was kind of hard to find, you know, a balance of you're helping us out, you know, she's helping us out, but, like, we need to control the business in order to grow it because she's just doesn't have that same perspective on growing it. You know, if something happens, cool, but she's not, you know, driving out to go present salsa to different stores either. And I don't blame her. That's not what her role is.
Correct.
But,
yeah.
You know, that's the difference between where, you know, where we're at and where she's at. But here's the thing. She's been so supportive and so, you know, supportive of our goals and our dreams that she has adjusted to make it work for me. Not all the time. She can be stubborn sometimes, but yeah, she's a tough lady, but she's been there for me every step of the way and has always been, you know, even during the tough times and the arguments that you had, you were just like, we got to work this out because it's way more important to be family and to appreciate each other, how we've always appreciated each other than, you know, build a business that makes us money and we're miserable.
Absolutely. And you kind of hit something that one of the reasons I'm doing this, and that is success doesn't always have to be financial. Having the freedom, flexibility, and time with your family, to me, is way more important than, you know, whatever, big houses, big, you know, fancy cars, bling, all that kind of stuff. Having the freedom to spend time with your family is kind of what I'm looking at as like freedom. And so you kind of hit that nail right on the head.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm gonna speak for my general manager for just a little bit. I hope
yep.
I don't say this wrong, but you know, from her perspective, I think, you know, she came into this role and was like, okay, if I could, you know, start out part time, I know you can't quite afford full time yet, but let's, you know, see how we can do it. As we, you know, as we've rolled on a little bit longer, I think she's also realized some of the best parts of being able to go pick up your kids and spending time with, you know, them at night rather than grading papers, you know, just laughing with your buddy while we do deliveries together, you know.
Yep.
Those are very enjoyable parts of life and things that we may even want more than money sometimes. And, you know, for her, I wish I could just give her, you know, as much money as she deserves. But I love the fact that we're trying to build to that together.
And you're both
not only is she helping me, but we're trying to find a better life for her too.
Absolutely. Your goals are aligned and your values are aligned. So
right.
I see.
Right.
I mean, I see big things for you guys, and you know, I will do my best to support you guys as well. You know, I'm always every time I'm in town, I'll be picking some salsa up. You can count on that.
Well, you need to make sure that we're together when you come pick that up sometime, because I would love to show you around and I do that with customers too. There's customers who will come in. You know, you're talking to Laura for 45 minutes.
Yep.
That's kind of how we spend time with our customers. I think some of them are kind of like, oh, I got to run. And I'm like, oh, sorry. But then there's other ones who are like, I could hang out for a couple hours if you wanted to. So, and I enjoy that because you build those relationships and you build that community and things. And now people are coming, you know, they'll come in and come visit and I'll do a tour and they'll be like, hey, you know how you showed me around your building and what you did construction wise and stuff? Can you show my, you know, my husband, or can you show my kids, you know, what you did? And then I'll go around and I'll tell them, like, you know, because I show them like where we started with making salsa with two blenders.
Uh-huh.
And now we have a 21-inch immersion blender that we put in a 5-gallon bucket, and I'm doing two batches at one time rather than mom and I doing one batch at a time and doing three separate blends. So it's actually we're 8 times faster than mom and I used to be with the two blenders, with just that one.
Wow.
But the thing is, it's also one less person. So not only is it, so it's less labor, but it's also really, if you just take that out of the equation, it's really 16 times faster because it's only one person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so we're like, you know, you start finding some of those opportunities and, you know, to quicken up the processing, and man, you start saving some money and moving on to the selling part faster.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any other things that you've found cost savings or speedier throughout the years to make things a little better for the bottom line?
Yeah, I think insurance is a big part of it, right? I think making sure that, you know, like the big swings that are constants that are being pulled out of your account every month.
Yep.
You gotta make sure those make sense and that you have a good deal for the things that you do, because I've done things for 3 years in a row that I could have saved myself probably a couple $1,000s on if I would have spent a week on focusing on changing it. You know, so I think setting yourself up on the ingredients that we buy for the salsa, or the rent that we need in order to, you know, make the building successful for paying the energy costs and the mortgage and the repairs around the building. You know, it's like, it's just trying to find what makes sense for everybody. And it has to make sense for the, you know, people who are renting from you too.
Absolutely.
You know, if they can't make money by paying the rent that you need, then doesn't make sense. So sometimes we take, you know, a hit on some stuff for a little while so that they can kind of build up to that, because that's what Bayview Packing Co. did for us when we started over by them. they were the first people to allow us to make salsa in their building.
Okay.
And sometimes it was a big inconvenience to them, and they worked their way through it and did what they could to see us progress and succeed. And I try to do that with each one of our people that rents from us, because they're great people. I love to see their businesses progressing and succeeding. And it's people have done that for me in the past, so.
Absolutely. And small businesses need all the support they can get when they start. So,
They sure do. Absolutely, man.
coming close to the end here, I just have a couple questions. What's the number one highlight of Mama's Boy Salsa?
The story that Fox 6 did about my uncle,
Yep.
and being able to share that story with so many people, and being able to share the tears and discussions about other people's loved ones, and rehashing things about Mike, my uncle, that I get to do. I think that's probably one of my favorite parts about this, is that I get to continue to talk about somebody that I respected like crazy and that I loved and miss a lot, but also to feel like there's like his presence is around cheering us on as I get to work with my mom. I think working with family and being in his building, I think, is probably the two best things that we get to do, and family and friends that we get to work with.
I can imagine that. Well said. As I was looking through Facebook, I saw some pictures of you, and there's some ink on your arm that I'd like to highlight. I believe it is the logo.
It's actually my friend Ashley from Rockstar Tattoo. She actually took our Market 30 logo and our Mama's Boy logo and combined them together on an iPad first in order to like show me what that would look like. So it's
Okay.
basically the state of Wisconsin with Mama's Boy imprinted in it, and it's just so beautifully done. I get compliments on the tattoo all the time. She's incredible at like character art,
Okay.
and with the tomato, it's like a watercolor look to it. She just like knocked it out of the park on like all on all the parts of it and stuff, and like the stem of the tomato and everything. There's a little jalapeno as our apostrophe on
Love it.
Mama's.
I
So,
love it, man. That's so cool. That
and my
shows.
wife. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was gonna
Good.
say, shows confidence in your product. I love it.
Yeah, well, and the funny thing is that my wife actually got a tattoo the same day. It was her 12th wedding anniversary,
Okay.
and she got a Wisconsin silhouette with a tomato as Milwaukee as the like
Ah,
arm.
yes. That's so
Thing.
cool.
So, so we were and Ashley was so fun to work with and things. This is actually the only tattoo I have on my body, and I. It's one of those where people are like, "Whoa, really?" Like, there's people that are like really going for it, huh? Like, what are you nuts? Like, I think some people, and then I like to tell those people we did 33,000 pints last year, and then they t tend to give me a little more credit for putting a tattoo on my body. But no, I think it's just a part of the story either way. If the company folded next year, I would still be proud as hell that I was able to do what we did with with the people around us.
That's so awesome. That's so cool. All right, some quick hitters, and then we'll call it a day. What's your favorite season of the year?
Ooh, summer financially and fall physically.
At work, are you listening to music or talk radio, or are you just chit-chatting?
Oddly enough, I think I talk so much that silence is kind of nice in my day. I drive around with no music on. I will listen to it here and there, but literally a song could be on repeat 13 times in a row, and I wouldn't even really be paying attention to it. I
Okay.
just I love music, and I love like what it does for my soul and how I feel and things. But it's almost like it's a distraction from the tasks that I need to do as I'm going around.
Fair enough. That's good. Summerfest or State Fair?
Ooh, earlier in my younger years, Summerfest. In my older years, State Fair.
I think I'm right there with you. All right, Chris. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say before we close?
just like to thank you. You know, you and I, you know, grew up together, really. And, you know, and we played defense together and soccer and stuff and spent a lot of time and a lot of hours together.
Yep.
And I think just, you know, the success that we had on the field was because we worked together and we're, you know, we were there for each other. And I'm just so grateful when I get to talk to people I haven't spoke with for a long time. And kind of reintroduce each other to where we've progressed to since we've talked last. And,
absolutely. You know, yeah.
This was a beautiful conversation. And I'm just glad that, I was able to reconnect with you like that, man. Thank you for having me on.
Likewise. Well, I just want to thank you so much for your time today. It's been a blast. Everyone, please go check out Mama's Boy Salsa, visit his storefront Market 30, and always support local business. If you've made it this far, I appreciate you. Every single one of you. Thank you so much for listening to my first episode, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I want to thank Chris for his time and awesome stories. If you want to see his products, please visit his website or Instagram account, which I've put in the show notes. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, and give me a rating if you have some time. I would greatly appreciate it. Thanks, everyone.